Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Ayin Ches. We're on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, that's the last line. And we're discussing a case where there was a koisel between two chatzeres. The halacha is that if one of the chatzeres has easy access to the top of that wall, then they receive exclusive rights to the top of that wall, and they can use it without resorting to an Erev Chatzeres with the Chatzer on the other side of the wall. What's considered to be accessible if the top surface of that wall is within 10 tefachim to their Chatzer? Now, we had several examples, several cases of people who tried to be mamait to lessen the distance between the top of the wall and their Chatzer, for instance, overturning a pail, using a ladder, etc., which lessen the distance because they create a point of access. And if from that point of access to the top of the wall you have less than 10 tefachim, it's considered to be within reach, it's accessible to them, and this halacha will apply. The Gemara today will provide us with several more examples of this halacha. It says the Gemara on the bottom line, Va'omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravo, Ziz Hayoytse Min HaKoisel, Dal Dal Dal. If you have this ledge protruding out of the wall, it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. It's a properly sized surface. And this ziz is within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. So it makes the top of the wall within reach and accessible. The problem is that the ledge itself is lifted off the ground. It's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, in which case you can't apply lovut, and it's not really connecting to their chatzah. So you have a point of access somewhere in the middle of the wall, which is within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. So if you're standing on that ledge, the top of the wall is within reach and accessible to you, but the ziz is lifted off the ground. So how do you connect it to the ground? Very simple. Use a ladder. V'yinechol of sulam kolshu, and he leaned on that ziz, a ladder. So you put the ladder down on his chatzer, leaned it against the ledge. Even if the sulam is kolshu, it's not 4 tefachim wide. Miyata. Then he lessened it, meaning it's effective, because he connected the ledge to the ground by means of this ladder. Although it's a narrow ladder, that's okay, because you can still climb up a narrow ladder. That serves as a connection between the ledge and the ground below. He can relate to that point of access, which is within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall, makes it within reach. So although generally a ladder needs to be 4 tefachim wide, but that's when there's no ledge. So you're just creating a pesach through a ladder. Fine, it needs to have the proper size of a Pesach. But here the ledge itself is properly sized. From your position on that ziz, you can have access to the top of the wall. So since that ziz is 4 tefachim wide, that creates the Pesach. Problem is it doesn't connect to the ground. So as long as there's some sort of connection, even if it's an inconvenient connection, a narrow ladder, that's enough. V'lay Amaran, this is only said, Ela da'is ve'alei. If you lean the ladder against the ledge, so that connects the ledge to the floor. But if you place the ladder alongside the ledge, meaning we have the wall, we have the ledge, and he placed the ladder not on the ledge, leaning against the ledge, but rather he placed it on the wall, leaning on the wall alongside the ledge. In this case, it doesn't connect to the ledge, and it doesn't serve as a connection between the ground and the ledge. So this is only allowed if he leaned the ladder against the ledge, but he placed it alongside the ledge against the wall. So he merely widened the ledge, but he didn't connect it down to the ground, and it's beyond reach. This ledge can't serve as a point of access for the person standing in the chatzah below. Now, of course, Rashi points out that the rungs of this ladder are situated less than 3 tefachim apart, so less than 3 tefachim from each other, above each other, because in that case we apply the concept of lavud, and we consider this whole thing as one continuous connection from the chatzer below through the root, through the ladder up until the ledge. V'amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avoh, Koisel Tisha Aser. If you have a koisel which is 19 tefachim high, Soruch Ziz Echad La'atiru. You need to have one ledge to be matir the koisel, meaning as long as you apply this ledge in a manner where you have less than 10 tefachim from the ledge to the top of the wall. That's number one. Right? That's the whole purpose, to make it accessible. And additionally, that ziz is located within 10 tefachim to the ground below. Because only then it works. Why? Because if the ziz is within the 10 tefachim, within the 10 tefach height of the wall, then it breaks up that wall and makes it accessible. But if it's above 10 tefachim, then you have a full-fledged wall there, which requires a Pesach. The ziz is ineffective. It's beyond 10. So you have a full wall there under the ziz, which needs to be addressed. So in this case, as Rashi points out, you're going to have to place a full-fledged ladder there, which is 4 tefachim wide, to create that Pesach. Right? Because the ziz is really providing the Pesach. It's providing that access point to the top of the wall, because the ziz is 4 tefachim wide. But that's only if the ziz is properly located. If it's applied at the right place, meaning, number one, it needs to be within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. So when you're standing on the ziz, the top of the wall is fully accessible to you, it's within reach. But number two, you cannot have 10 tefachim height of wall before you reach the ziz. The point of the ziz is to break up the height of the wall. So in this case, where you have 10 tefach of wall before you reach the ziz, then you need to create a new Pesach, which is a sulam of 4 tefachim wide. So again, the case of Kaisel Tisha Aser, if it's only 19 high, then all you need is one ledge, which will be placed right in the middle, and break up that wall. You'll have, let's say, 9.5 tefach above the ziz, and 9.5 below. So tzorech ziz echad latira, one ziz is enough, and of course, you're going to lean the ladder, this narrow ladder, against the ziz, which will connect the ziz, which is the true access point, to the chatzer below. So even a narrow ladder is enough. Kaisel Esrim, if this wall is high up, it's 20 tefachim high, tzorech shnei zizim latir. In this case, one ziz is not enough. You need to have two in order to ensure that the space from the ground below to the first ziz is less than 10, and the space between the top ziz and the top of the wall is less than 10. So you need to have two ledges. Now otherwise, as we explained, otherwise Rashi says you need to have a sulam, a proper sulam, which is 4 tefachim wide, which in itself will create that Pesach, because you can't use the ziz if it's not strategically located. Continues the Gemara. But Amar Rav Chisda, okay, so we have a high wall with two ledges, and that will work, but, says Rav Chisda, V'ushem midan zeh shloi k'neged zeh. You must make sure that the ziz in here were not one directly over the other. You need to have it shloi k'neged zeh. You need to have one here and one here. Meaning, if it's one directly on top of the other, you can't access one from the other. So only if it's removed, you have one to this side, one to this side, so then that allows you to place a ladder from one to the other and access it. Amar Chisda v'ushe midan zeh shloi k'neged zeh. These two zizes only work if they're not directly over each other, but they're a bit removed from each other, which allows you to place a ladder to get from one to the other. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Amud b'Rishus HaRabim, if you have a post in Rishus HaRabim, Gvoya Asora v'Racha Arba, 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, which is the Rishus HaYachid. So as long as you have the surface on top 4x4, it's considered to be a Rishus HaYachid. Now, what happened? V'Natz b'Yosid Kolshu. He applied a peg, he knocked a nail onto the top surface of this post. Miyatai. By doing so, he diminished its size. He was remind, he lessened the surface space. It's no longer a surface area of 4x4 tefachim. In which case, it's not a Rishus HaYachid. Amar Rav Adabar Ava b'Gvoya Shleish. Provided this nail is 3 tefachim high. Because otherwise, it will be batel to the amud. Less than 3 is lovud. And it doesn't interfere with the surface space. It doesn't diminish anything. And it still remains as is. Abaye v'roved amitavayu, afal pish ein gvoya shleisha. Even if this nail is not 3 tefachim high, it still will interfere and lessen the surface area of this amud. Why? My timer, lo mishtamer shleisha, because practically he can't use the spot where their nails is knocked in. That spot is rendered useless. So in totality, he doesn't have 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim of usage area. Rav Ashi Yomar, just the opposite. Afilu gavoy shegavoy shloisha. Even if the nail is 3 tefachim high, it won't affect anything. Why? My timer. Why? Efshad the toli meimidi. Because although it's creating this new phenomenon, this thing sticking out of the omid, but he can still use it by hanging something on it. He hangs his hat on it. So we consider the entire area as being mashamish, useful in each level in its own unique way. The flat level will serve him one way. The nail will serve him differently. Will serve him by allowing him to hang up something on it. After the toli beimidi. Amale Rav Achaber de Rav Al Rashi. What about the following case? You say a nail is still useful for hanging. Molei kuloi b'yisedes mal. What if you decided to fill the entire surface with nails? In this case, it's pretty difficult to tie things because to hang things on the nail, you have interference. You have a bunch of nails sitting next to each other. What is the lacha here? Does it remain rishus hayachid or does it lose its status? Amalei Sir Rav Ashi told him, Loi shmilach, didn't you hear? Hada Amar Rav Yochanan. Bur v'chol yosam mitzdarf l'asor. So if you have a bur, you dug out a pit, and the earth of the pit was left on the sides. That's the chulya, the rim, the ring around the bur. So Rechon told us that the bur and the chulya are both mitzdarf l'asor. So if you take a look down at the pit, it's 10 tefachim deep, but let's say it's not 10 tefachim on its own. It's only in conjunction with the ridge around it, which is forming that ring, which creates a space in the middle. So that space, together with the pit below surface, equals 10 tefachim deep. It's considered shusayachet. So although the pit itself is not 10 tefachim deep, but if you look through this, in the middle of this ridge, and you're looking down, so from the top of the ridge all the way to the bottom surface of the bird is 10, that's okay. Not only that, as Rashi points out, let's say a person takes something or puts something onto the ridge itself. He's chayv because it's Rishus HaYachad. How is it Rishus HaYachad? Rishus HaYachad needs to have 10 high by 4 tefachim wide. Here we have a ridge which is perhaps no more than a tefach wide. Right? You have this pit surrounded by a ridge, this chulya, which is perhaps a tefach wide. So you have a tefach on one side of the bar, tefach on the other side, with a bur in the middle, which is 2 tefachim wide. So yeah, in totality, you have 4 tefachim from one side of the chulya to the other. But part of it is empty space. It's the bur. You have nowhere to put something. You don't have a surface area for tefachim. So why is it that the top of the ridge of the chulya is regarded as a shayachet? So Bechon tells us it is. Why? Vamai, why? Halamish tamashle. You can't use it. There's no 4 tefach surface area of use. You must say, the manach midi mishtamish. You're not going to use it? You can't use it the way it is, but perhaps you can place a board on this whole area. You run a board from ridge to ridge over the gap, over the bar, so now you have a flat surface area which can service you. So that's sufficient to provide shimush and consider it shisayachet as a result. Hachanami here as well, when it comes to the amud, which is loaded with nails, so although it's hard to use it as is, hachanami demanach midi mishtamish. He'll simply place a board, etc., on all the nails, create a new flat surface above the nails, and now he places the things on that flat surface. Therefore, even in this case, it's considered to be a rishus hayachad. So in summary, regarding a nail which was knocked onto an amud, Abaye v'Rava say it's memayit. It lessens the surface area of the amud and is no longer regarded as rishus hayachad. Rather, Ba'avah tells us that's only provided the yasid is 3 tefachim high, in which case it's not bottled to the amud. Rashi says, regardless of its height, it's not memayit. And as the Gemara concluded, even if it's full of nails. So if it's a single nail, he'll just hang something on it. If it's full of nails, then he places a board on those nails, creates a new flat surface, and can use it, no problem. Continues the Gemara. Omar B'Yudah Omar Shmuel. Getting back to that kaisel, where he wants to create a Pesach to make it accessible. So how long does the ladder need to be? He's going to use a ladder to create a Pesach. So we know it needs to be 4 tefachim wide. But how high? How tall does it have to be? Says the Gemara, Kaisel Asura, if the wall is, for instance, 10 tefachim high, how long is the ladder going to be? Sorach Sulam Arba Asalatiri. The ladder needs to be 14 tefachim long. Explains Rashi, because the distance between the wall and the bottom of the ladder is going to be 4 tefachim. So you deduct the 4, leaving us with, you need to have another 10 to get to the top of the wall for a total of 14. Tosfos asks that you definitely don't need 14 if you're just going to place it in that position, 4 tefachim from the wall, less than 14 is enough. Tosfos learns that what he means is that the distance between the wall and the bottom of the ladder is going to be 10 tefachim. So it's going to be at a diagonal, starting 10 tefachim away from, 10 tefachim from the wall, leading up to the wall, and then you need 14 to get to the top of the wall. So that's Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Shita. Rabbi Yosef Amar, you don't need to get to the top of the wall. Afilu Shleisha Asar Mashu, even if the Sulam is 13 and a bit, in which case it reaches within one tefach of the top of the wall, it's enough. Abaye Amar, Afilu Achad Asar Mashu, even if it's 11 and a bit, that's okay because it's going to reach within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall. Rav Huna Beit Rishu Amar, Afilu Shivo Mashu, even if this ladder is only 7 and a bit, in which case you could just erect it upright along this wall, and it's going to reach within 3 tefachim of the top of the wall, it's okay. Omar Rab, Sulam Zokev Amait. Indeed, an erect ladder, straight up, is effective. Gemara, I learned this as a from my Rebbeim, but later down in my time, I don't really understand why it works, because it's not so convenient to use a ladder which is upright. Omar Shmo Veloyada Abba Tamad Amilsa. Abba doesn't know. Abba was a distinguished title which Shmuel used to refer to Rav. So Rav doesn't know the reason of this halach, why something which is inconvenient is still considered to be accessible, so you can use the ladder, but it's kind of hard. Why does that work? It's the same as the halacha we learned yesterday. One platform directly on top of the other, it's effective, even though it's a bit difficult to climb up that contraption. Nevertheless, since it's accessible, it creates the Pesach and is effective. Omar Rab, Omar Abchia, the column should be bubble, ain't it tzrich and keva. So they used to cut up the trunks of the palm trees into pieces. So these chunks were used to sit on them. Now, if he's going to use it as a step stool to his kaisel, place it next to the wall to make it accessible, to make the top of the wall within reach, ain't it tzrich and keva. They don't need to be affixed in place, even if they're technically portable, it's going to be effective. My time and why? Kveidon kevasan. Their heaviness equals permanence, because generally they're not moved around due to their weight. So that itself is considered to be a kvius and can bring the top of the wall to within reach. Rav Yosef and Rav Yeshia, the same halacha applies to selam yishu b'bavel in its richen kva. The heavy ladders of bavel don't need to be affixed in place. And if they're leaned against the wall, even though technically they're portable, they are effective. My time and why they consider a Pesach, kved and kivasan, their heaviness equals permanence. The fact that they're heavy, they're not meant to be moved around, therefore they're considered to be stuck in place and can change the equation and the halacha of this wall. It says, Ramand Omar Sulamis, the one who applied this halacha to ladders, kolshkin kolam. Certainly, he would agree to the chunks of the palm tree, which are actually heavier. Madam the kolam. However, the shita that spoke about the palms, avosalom esloi, but he would not hold that the same halacha applies to ladders, which are lighter. Continues the gemara. Boy mine Rav Yosef mi Rabba. So Rav Yosef asked Rabba the following question. We know that a sulam can create a pesach, provided the sulam is 4 tefachim wide, which is a sheer pesach. What if he couldn't get a hold of a wide sulam? He found two narrow ladders. So the rungs are, let's say, less than 10 tefachim, less than 2 tefachim wide. He has two ladders. Each one has rungs which are 1.5 tefach wide. Very narrow ladders. He wants to create a pesach for his kaisel, to bring the kaisel within reach. So sulam mikan, v'sulam mikan v'kashim b'emtzimau. So he places a ladder on one side, a ladder on the other, meaning alongside each other, leave some space in the middle, and he's going to fill it up with straw. He's going to pull some straw from one rung, on the rung on one ladder, to the rung on the other ladder, sort of extending the rungs, connecting them to each other, and creating a rung which is 4 tefachim wide. So he's going to do it all along the ladder. He's going to bring some hay, some straw, connect the rungs of the two ladders to each other, in which case he's created a rung which is four tefachim wide. Does that work? Amrle, no, it doesn't work. Why? Ein kafa regel eilben, because the straw in the middle, which is a place where a person generally places his feet when he climbs up the ladder, will not support his feet. So it's ineffective. What about a case like this? Kashan mikan, v'kashan mikan, v'sulam be'emtza. He has one narrow ladder, and he goes ahead and extends the rungs by using straw. So you have a ladder which is 1.5 tefach wide. He takes the straw, fixes it to the rung on one side, fixes it to the rung on the other side, thus extending the rungs and widening them into four tefach. How is he going to climb up the ladder? So even a narrow ladder really can be used. It's kind of hard. It doesn't have a shear pesach, but he can still climb up the ladder. So Rashi explains he'll support himself. He'll support his hands with the straw protrusions, and his feet will actually only rest on the solid portion of the rung, right in the middle. So what's the halacha here? Omer leis, he said, yeah, this one works. Hari kafa regel elbem. It supports this person's feet. So it's going to work. It's going to be considered a Pesach for the kus. Continues the Gemara with another example. Chokak lahashlim b'kusel b'kam. So he has this narrow ladder. He places it alongside the wall, and he's going to carve out from the wall to add it to the rung. So the rung is not four tefachim wide. He's going to add a little carving in the wall next to the rung. Tosis describes how they would do it. Somehow the ladder and the wall were side by side. Perhaps the wall was thickened. It actually came out towards the ladder on one side. So he was able to lean the ladder against the wall and have a wall right next to it, which gave him the allowance to carve out next to the rung, extend the rung into the wall, to bring it to a width of four tefach. So if he did that, that's okay, but the question is, how high does this process have to go? Chokak lahashlim b'kaisel become. If he carved in the wall, or to complete the shear of four tefachim of the rung, how high must he go? If you have a kaisel 20 yama high, how high does he have to go ahead and make sure the rungs of his wall, in conjunction with the carving the wall, how high does this four tefach width go? Omele basara. He needs to make sure that this arrangement extends up until 10 tefach. Doesn't have to go past that. So as long as the joint ladder and wall contraption extends till 10 tefach, that's okay. Rashi explains that's a shear pesach. So it's 4 tefachim wide for each rung and extends to 10 tefachim, Shir Pesach, and we treat it as a Pesach. Rabbi Natan learns that Basara just means that he needs to do this up until within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall. So where he's standing, the wall is already accessible to him, that's enough. But just 10 tefachim off the ground, he says that's not enough. So Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos here regarding this case. Continues the Gemara, it's another case. Suppose he doesn't have a ladder altogether. He's going to create steps by carving them into the wall itself. How high do those steps have to go? Now, they'll be 4 tefachim wide, of course. The question is, how high? In this case, he has to create steps going all the way up to the top of the wall. But what's the difference between this one and the previous case where 10 tefachim is sufficient? Amalei, he told him, in the previous case, he had a ladder, which makes it easy for him to climb up. The question was, where's the Shir Pesach? Because the ladder was narrow, wasn't four tefachim wide. So you need to complete a Shir Pesach, to extend those rungs into the wall, to give you a width of four tefachim. So, for that purpose, it's enough to have 10 tefachim, to give it a Shir Chashivus of Pesach. Because ultimately, he can climb up just using the ladder. So therefore, the concept of the width of the four tefachim is a halachic concept. It has to appear like a Pesach. Up until 10 is enough. Hachalei mistalakli. As opposed to our case, where it's not too easy to climb up a straight wall. So, in this case, you have to make sure you have proper rungs, proper steps carved into the wall, all the way up to the top of the wall, to give you proper access. Continues the Gemara. Rav Yosef asked Rabba another question regarding a ladder placed against a wall. Asa li'ilon sulamau. What if he didn't have a ladder? Rather, he used a tree, which was situated near the wall. He fashioned it into a ladder. Can that serve as a Pesach? So, we know that if there is a ladder on this side of the Mechitza serving these people, and a ladder on the other side as well serving the other Chatzar, then both ladders combine to create a Pesach, which allows the Chatzeris to join together as one, with one Erev Chatzeris. Let's say he used a tree to create a Pesach. Does that work? Does that create a Pesach to connect the two Chatzeris together? Why would I think not? Because a tree is inaccessible on Shabbos. But the Rabban, one may not climb on a tree on Shabbos for concern that he might pull off a branch. So, does it work? Fact is, you have a Pesach, but it's inaccessible. Ma, what is Halacha? Tiboy le Rebbe, Tiboy le Rabban. This question will apply to Rebbe and to the Rabban. Explains the Gemara. Tiboy le Rebbe. The question will apply to Rebbe, who allows placing an Erev Tchumen on a tree. Although a tree is inaccessible, you can't access your food on Shabbos. But since during the point of activation, which has been Ashmashes, the Erev food is accessible, because this is the Rabban on the Shavuos, does not apply Ben Ashmashes, according to Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, you can do that. And the question is, whether perhaps we can apply the same thing to our case. Explains the Gemara. Tiboy le Rebbe, the question applies to Rebbe. Ad kan leka amar Rebbe Hassam. Perhaps it's only over there that Rebbe said, kol dovah shehu mishum Shavuos lo gazru alav. And this is the Rabbanan, like climbing on a tree, was not applied ben Hashmashis, and therefore the Erev food is considered to be accessible, and since at the point of activation ben Hashmashis, he has access to his food, and the Erev works, that's only over there, Hanimila ben Hashmashis. That only applies to that case where it's ben Hashmashis. So since at that point of activation he has access to his Erev, it's fine, it's valid. Aval kuli yai maloi. However, in our case that won't apply, because over here, you need to have a Pesach throughout the entire Shabbos. So, if you don't have an accessible Pesach throughout Shabbos, why? Because it's usur to use the Pesach, the tree. Then you can't connect the two Chatzeres. So perhaps even according to Rebbe, this Erev wouldn't work. This Pesach wouldn't be effective. Oy Dilma, or perhaps conversely, just the opposite. Filu Rabbanon, Pischehu. Even according to Rabbanon, who don't allow placing a Erev Tchumen on a tree, because they hold that this is Rabban of Shavuos, prohibiting the climbing of the tree, is also even Hashmashes. Therefore, it doesn't work over there. So perhaps, even according to them, in our case, would. Why? I feel Rabban of Pischo, V'Arya, who'd reveal it. There's a lie in here, meaning it's a proper Pesach. There's an Isser preventing you from using it. So imagine you have a real entranceway with a lion perched nearby. So due to the fear of being harmed by the lion, nobody gets close to that Pesach. Is anybody in the world that's going to think that it's not considered to be a valid Pesach? Of course it's a Pesach. Practically speaking, physically, it's a Pesach. So although there's some external factor preventing its use, it's irrelevant. Here as well, says the Gemara, you have a Pesach. You have a wall which is accessible using this tree. So you have the presence of the Pesach throughout Shabbos. So although perhaps it's inaccessible, it's irrelevant. You've connected to Chatzeres, and they could join together as one. So in short, the question is, do we say, well, you need to have the presence of the Pesach throughout the entire Shabbos, not just Ben Hashmashes, and it's also to use it on Shabbos, therefore it can't serve as a Pesach, or perhaps, as long as you have the presence of the Pesach, although it's inaccessible, it can serve as a Pesach. So that's the first question. Continues the Gemara. Okay, let's assume, for argument's sake, that this would work. Why? Because the presence is enough even without the access. If that's the case, let's proceed to the next question. Also, Lashira Sulamau. If you use that Shira wood, which was used for Avodah Zarah, as a ladder for his wall, will it work? Over here, you can't even have Hana'a. You can't derive personal benefit from the ladder. So, can that be used as a Pesach? Says the Gemara, let's analyze. Tiboy the Rabbi Yehuda. Tiboy le Rabbanon, the question will apply to Rabbi Yehuda and to Rabbanon. As the Gemara explains, Tiboy le Rabbi Yehuda, it's going to apply to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can place the Erev Tchumen in the Beis HaKvaros there, although one is not to have Anah from a caver. But the Erev Tchumen is meant for a mitzvah, right? You're meant to only make it Erev Tchumen if you want to go do a Beisa Ava, Beisa Mishta. So the activation of the Erev Tchumen is considered to be a mitzvah. A mitzvah is not considered to be personal pleasure. That's what we do. The Rabbanan say, no, you can't place a Erev Tchumen in a Beisa Kfaris. So we want to analyze. Tiboy the Rabbi Yehuda, this question by us of using the Asherah wood for the ladder will apply to Rabbi Yehuda as well. Ad kan loika Amar Yehuda hasam. It's only over there. Rida says the muta liknis bayis b'sirah no. You can go ahead and be koine shvisa in a place which is aser b'hano like a beis hakfaris. Ela hasam. Perhaps it's only over there that it works. The basa the kanali erev, because once the erev has been activated, he no longer needs the food there. He couldn't care less where the food goes. Lo nichale the linter. There's no need for the food to be safeguarded there. So he doesn't derive personal pleasure from the kever. All he needs is the activation of the Erev, activation of the Kinyan Shvisa to acquire Shabbos residency for the sake of the mitzvah. So a mitzvah, it's not called Hanoah. He's allowed to do that. However, in our case, that won't apply because over here, he's deriving personal pleasure throughout Shabbos. He needs the Pesach here. He needs access. So it's considered to be personal Hanoah throughout Shabbos. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, in our case, it won't work. Oy Dilma, or perhaps just the opposite. I feel the Rabbanon. Even according to Rabbanon, who say that over there, you can't place the Erev in a Beis HaKfaris. That's here, that's over there, because, as Gemara explains earlier in the Flamin Aleph, that perhaps he still wants his food to stick around, so he's still having personal Hanah from the food being located in the Mokim Yisra Hanah. As opposed to our case, where he doesn't really need a Pesach. He's not having Hanah from this ladder. As long as the Pesach connected to Chatzeres, he's good to go. He is having Hanah from the Erev Chatzeres. The fact that the two places are connected allows him to make Erev Chatzeres. So he's not having direct Hanah from the ladder. That's not considered to be deriving personal pleasure from the Asherah. So that factor is gone. Now, what about the second factor? Bottom line, how's he going to use that Pesach? If he can't use it, how's it a Pesach? Says the Gemara, the same as we said earlier. Aval Rabbanan Pischu. Practically speaking, it's a Pesach. We have the presence of the Pesach. We have the Asherah serving as a ladder. The fact that he can't practically use it, it's irrelevant. Pischu va'arya, the Raviyale. There's a lion perched next to it. So we have an external factor preventing him from using it. That's irrelevant. That doesn't undo the Pesach status that is already present here. So, in short, we have a question regarding using Asherah for Sulam. One side of the coin is, he can't because he's having Hanah from this Pesach throughout Shabbos. On the other hand, we can say, no, there's no direct Hanah from the Pesach. The Pesach connects the Chatzeres. The Hanah he has from the Erev Chatzeres. That's unconnected to the Sulam. Now, why is this a Pesach? Because it's a Pesach. We have the presence of the Pesach. So although he doesn't have access to it, that doesn't diminish from the status, the Pesach status of this ladder. So we have two questions, one regarding a tree, which involves an Issa Shabbos. You can't climb on the tree on Shabbos, so the question is, can that be used as a Pesach? And number two, regarding the Asher, which is Aser Bano. Unfortunately, speak out, obviously we're not speaking about a living tree, either we're speaking about a dry tree or just pieces of wood of Asher, because otherwise it will have the same concern as the tree. We're dealing with two separate shilas here. So Asherah, obviously we're speaking a case where just have, let's say, logs. So it's a question of Isra Hanah. And the first question was regarding a tree, which was connected to the ground, which is an Issa Rabbanan, of using a tree on Shabbos. So what is Aloch in both cases? This was the question posed by Rav Yosef to Rab. Amar Leis, Rabba responded, split. Ilon Mutar, Asherah Asura. When it comes to the tree on Shabbos, that's okay. Why? Because as long as you have the presence of the Pesach, you have the mitzius of the entranceway, that's okay. Even if it's inaccessible, it doesn't diminish from the status of the Pesach. This Pesach connects the Chatzeres, and the Erev is valid. Va'asherah asur. However, when it comes to Asherah, which is also about Anah, that doesn't work because you can't have Anah from the Asherah, and you're having Anah from the fact that you have a Pesach here throughout Shabbos. Maskev l'Rav Chizda. So Rav Chizda responded, Adu Rabba, if anything, just the opposite. Ilan she'isur Shabbos goyim loy nitzar. When it comes to the Isra involving the tree, which is pertaining to Isra Shabbos, not allowed to climb on a tree on Shabbos, it's a Shabbos Isra, So since an Issa Shabbos is involved, then how could you create an error for Shabbos using something which entails an Issa Shabbos? It just doesn't work. Asher, on the other hand, she Issa Devar Acher Gerem Lo, where there's an unrelated Issa involved, unrelated to Shabbos, Lo Nitzer. In that case, it should not interfere with the establishment of the Erev. So if Chizur responded, if anything, just the opposite. How could you say an ordinary tree can be used, a Asher cannot? If anything, the tree which involves or entails an Issa Shabbos interferes with the Erev for Shabbos, as opposed to Asher, which is a Issa which is unrelated to Shabbos, and perhaps will not interfere with the Erev on Shabbos. Itmar Nami, we learned likewise, Ki Asher Ravin, Ravin came, Amar Rav Lazar, he said name of Lazar, Rami, some say, Ozamar Rav Voam Rav Yechanan, Kol She'issa Shabbos Garam Loi, whenever it entails an Issa Shabbos, also, that won't work for the Erev. Kol She'issa Dava Achan Garam Loi, Mutter. However, if what's involved is a unrelated Issa, not a Shabbos Issa, then it could work. Says the Gemara, we have another Shita. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mas Niochi. He concluded like this. When it comes to the question of the Ilan, Plukta the Rabbi Rabbanon, the Rebbe Rabbanon. So we learned earlier that according to Rebbe, you can place an Erev Tchumen in a tree. Why? Because we focus on the point of activation, which is Ben Hashmashes. And at that point, you can access the food, because the Issa Rabbanon of climbing a tree doesn't apply Ben Hashmashes. Whereas Rabbanon hold, the Issa Rabbanon applies Ben Hashmashes as well. So he really doesn't have access to his food. Says the Gemara, that same Achleikas will apply here as well. Because the Pesach needs to be an active Pesach. It needs to be accessible at least during Ben Hashmashes, which is the point of activation of the Erev Chatzeres here. So although you're right, as long as you have the presence of the Pesach throughout Shabbos, that should be okay. It's as though you have a true, valid entrance with a line nearby. However, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak holds that you still need some minute amount of accessibility to this Pesach, at least during Ben Hashmashes, which is the initial point, which is the activation point of the Erev. So once you deem it accessible at that point, okay, even if it loses its accessibility throughout Shabbos, it's still okay. So this will depend on Rebbe and Rabbana. According to Rebbe, during Ben Hashmashes, you have access. You like to climb on a tree, so then the Erev works. According to Rabbana, you don't have access during Ben Hashmashes because Issa Rabbana applies then as well. So this Pesach is inaccessible Ben Hashmashes and cannot connect to Chatzimus. So that's regarding the ordinary tree. Regarding the Asherah, that is Plukta to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbana. That will depend on that machlek, as we mentioned earlier. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we focus on the point of activation. Since he's doing a mitzvah, Erev Chatzer is a mitzvah, the Ritva brings that the mitzvah is that enhances the peace and harmony throughout the members of the Chatzer. So at the point of activation of Erev Chatzer, there's no problem using Isra Hana. It's not considered to be personal pleasure, personal Hana. That's Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. We focus on the point of activation. Once it's valid for that point, that's okay. It's not considered as though you're having Hana from the presence of the Pesach throughout Shabbos. Whereas the Rabbanon hold, it's awesome. Because they hold, yeah, it is considered to be Hana throughout Shabbos. You're having Hana from the fact that there's a Pesach here. Therefore, the Rabbanon hold, you cannot use the Asherah to create a Pesach because it's Asur Hana. So this depends on that Machlekes. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we focus on the point of activation. So although he's having access to the Pesach during Ben Hashmashes, as we just said, that you need to have at least one point of access at the initial state of the Erev, needs to be accessible to be considered a proper Pesach. So since at that point of activation, you're actually accessing the Pesach here, so you have the Hana. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's okay because it's a mitzvah. Because the Erev is a mitzvah. A mitzvah is not considered to be personal pleasure. Whereas Rabbanon hold, it's not enough that you have access during the point of activation. We deem it as though you're having continuous Hana from the presence of this Pesach throughout Shabbos. So that's beyond the point of activation. The point of activation is a mitzvah. Perhaps that will be okay. That's not considered to be personal pleasure. But throughout Shabbos, the Hana throughout Shabbos, beyond that initial point of activation, it's considered to be personal benefit, personal Hana from the Pesach. Therefore, it doesn't work. So in summary, regarding using a tree or using an asher, we have three shittas. According to Rabba, the tree was okay, the asher wasn't. According to Rav Chizkiya and the other Amoraim, just the opposite. Something which entails Isra Shabbos can be used for the Erev on Shabbos, whereas asher can be used. According to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, depends on the Machlokes Tanam. Continues the Mishnah. Charetz shebein shtei chatzeres. Now instead of a wall situated between two courtyards, you have a charetz, a trench, a deep trench, running all along between the chatzeres. Omek yud, v'rechem dalet, 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide, which makes it difficult to hop over. So now the two chatzeres are considered to be two separate entities. Ma'ar v'nishnayim, ve'ma'ar v'nechad. They must make two separate eruvs, they can't join together. Afilu malik hashay tevin, even if it's filled with straw or hay, which we assume he's going to eventually take out of there, just there for storage. That doesn't obliterate the trench. It still remains a trench and disconnects the two chatzeres. Mali ofer tzrayrais, however, if it's filled with earth or pebbles, that is mevatel the trench. It's considered to be plugged up. And now both chatzeres are considered to be fully connected. Ma'arvin echad, ve'ma'arvin shnayim. They must make one erev together. They cannot split into two separate erevs. A third case. Nosn olav neser. Shirachav abar tfacham. We have this trench with some access. You have a plank running across it, 4 tfachim wide, which creates a pesach. So now we have two chatzeres separated by a charitz, but there's access, there's a pesach. Another example would be v'chein beiz gzus trois, zukenegetzu. You have two porches, which are, let's say, facing each other, and there's a plank running from one to the other. In this case, they have a choice. Ma'arvin shnayim, they can make two separate erevs. From ratzu ma'arvin echad, if they wish, they can join together. Pachas mekan, but if the plank is less than 4 tefachim wide, which doesn't provide proper access, it's not a pesach, ma'arvin shnayim. Now, they lost their pesach. So they're back to two separate mekoymes, ve'ei ma'arvin echad. They must make two erevin, they cannot go ahead and make a joint erev. So in short, we have three cases. One is where the chatzer is considered to be disconnected, in which case they have to make two separate erevs. The next case was where they were considered to be connected with each other, in which case they're ma'arv echad. We have a third case, which is somewhere in the middle. They're two separate mekaymas with access to one another, in which case they have a choice. They have the option of joining together or creating independent erevs. So the Mishnah told us that even if this trench is filled with hay, the charetz is still considered to be present, which separates the chatzeres. So it's more of a tevan lechaitz. Hay doesn't plug up the hole. It doesn't block the air from reaching the trench. Why don't we consider it to be closed up? In which case the chatzeres are not connected. V'anantanan, haven't we learned in the Mishnah? Matbein. Shemesh te chatzeres. This is the next Mishnah coming up. So we have a pile of hay between two chatzeres. Gavayar Sarat Tzfachim, 10 Tzfachim high, which constitutes a mechitza. Now, we have two separate chatzeres, one on either side of this pile. Ma'arvin Shnayim, ve'ei Ma'arvin Echad. Now they must make two separate erevs, they can't join together. So what do we see here? Even hay, which is animal feed, which is going to be removed sooner or later, still creates that mechitza. So why is this different? Says the Gemara, very simple. Amar Abayi, lini mechitza, kul amale pligi davi mechitza. All agree, it's very straightforward, that it creates a mechitza. Because as long as it's here, you have a mechitza. So what if you're going to take it away tomorrow? Even a temporary mechitza is valid. So that's why the pile of hay between the chatzeres splits them into two. Avalin chatzitza. But when it comes to the question of plugging up the hole, blocking the air from this trench, so to speak, creating a closed up trench, in that case it depends what he intends on doing with this hay. Ibatle chayitz. If he was mevatlet, meaning he says, look, I'm leaving it here. So now it becomes batel to the karka. The trench is deemed to be filled up. Ibatle chayitz. Vibley batle. However, if he wasn't mevatlet and he intends on using it sooner or later for his animal feed, then it's merely being stored in there. It's not batel to the karka. The trench is still considered to be open. Loy chayitz. It doesn't block the air and does not plug up the charitz. And therefore, both chatzeres are considered to be separate, distinct entities, which require two erev chatzeres. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We learned many examples of creating a pesach to a koisel. which can serve either to make the kaisel, the top of the kaisel, accessible to him, which will grant him exclusive rights, or in a case where you have a pesach on both sides of the kaisel, like a proper ladder on either side, that can create a pesach, a joint access point between both chatzeres, which allows them to make an eruv. So what are these examples? Let's say we have a sulam which is 4 tefachim wide, leaning against a wall which is 10 tefachim high. So how long does the ladder need to be? One sheet says 14 tefachim in order for it to reach the top of the wall. One sheet says 13 and a bit, so it reaches within a tefach of the top of the wall. One sheet says 11 and a bit, so it reaches within 3 tefachim to the wall. And one sheet says even 7 and a bit. So that if it's situated erect, right alongside of the wall, it'll reach within 3 tefachim to the top of the wall. We learned about a sulam, which is rachav koshul, a very narrow ladder. And that can be placed on a ziz, on this ledge protruding from the wall, provided the ledge is 4x4 tefachim, which in itself creates an access point to the top of the wall, because it is, number one, situated within 10 tefachim to the ground, so it breaks up the wall, and number two, within 10 tefachim to the top of the wall, so it brings the top of the wall within reach. So that works. If he has a sulam, which is rachav koshul, he'd like to turn it into a Pesach. He can go ahead and add some straw to either side of those rungs to extend them, get them to be 4 tefachim wide. That's okay because he supports his hands on those pieces of kash and places his foot on firm, solid ground, the middle of the rung, which will support him. When he has a narrow ladder, I'd like to add to the width of the ladder. He can do so by carving out a portion of the wall and extend the rung into the wall. How high does that arrangement need to be? 10 tefachim high. Now, if he has no ladder and he's merely carving out the wall itself, then he needs to carve out steps all the way up to the top of the wall. Regarding using a tree for a ladder to create a pesach, or an asherah tree for the same purpose, we have three shittas. One shitta says a tree can be used, an asherah can't. Other shita says just the opposite. A tree which involves an Isser Shabbos, that can't be used. And a sheir which is an unrelated Isser, can be used. And the point here is because, although you can't access the Pesach, but we have the presence of the Pesach, it's like having a door with a lion next to it. According to the third shita, in either case it's a machlekes. In the case of the Ilan, it's going to depend on Rebbe and the Rabbanon. So according to Rebbe, we focus on the point of activation, which is Ben Hashmashes, and the tree is accessible at that point. According to Rabbanon, it's Asur at that point as well. And regarding Asherah, that's connected to Machlekes, Rabbi Din Rabbanon, whether we consider this thing to be Asur Bahano. We had a case of a Yosed, which was knocked into a post and lessened the surface space, lessened the 4 tefach surface space. So according to Abaye, it's Memayit. We no longer consider the top surface of that Amad HaShusayach doesn't have 4 tefach of user space, according to Rav Adar Bar Ava. Only if it's 3 tefachim high, it's going to be Mimayit. Less than that, we say love it, it's batel to the Amud. According to Rav Ashi, in either case, it's not Mimayit. And it's more concluding, if it's filled with nails, you can simply put something on top to create a flat surface, which will enable its use. We conclude with the Mishnah of a Charitz that was situated between 2 Chatzeres. We have 3 examples. One is, it's an empty Charitz, or it's filled with hay, which is not batel. In which case, the charitz is still considered to be a dividing factor. We have 2 chatzeres here. We need to make 2 separate eruvs. It's filled with afar, or tzreiros, which plug up that hole. Now they're considered to be 1 continuous chatzer with 1 eruv required. If they're 2 separate entities, but a pesach stretches from one to the other, like a plank, which is 4 tefachim wide, in this case, they have both options. They can choose to connect. They can choose to make their own separate eruvs.